Hi, I'm David Fettes, and this talk is about being logical for the Lord. We're here at the end of a course on logic and critical thinking, and rather than just end the course with a little bit of thought about Venn diagrams or something else like that, I want to bring it back to the importance of being logical because we're people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the course, I just said, please, don't be a smug slug. Don't be a slug by being lazy, but be ready to think harder. And don't be smug thinking you already know everything you need to know, but think humbler. Be eager to learn. So don't be a smug slug. That's how we started the course. And in the first week, I said, now we need to develop our thinking skills. We want to get at truth, so we want to think harder. We want to think humbler. And we just plain have to develop more and more skills so that we can see the structure of arguments, so that we can detect various biases and fallacies that warp our thinking and that warp the way we make a case and that warp the way other people make their arguments, be able to detect those things and not be fooled by bad arguments and not offer up bad arguments ourselves. We learned a little bit about using inductive logic and probability and analogies and to think about what kinds of things are going to be more probable than others. And we also learned a bit more about using deductive logic and proofs. We learned about truth tables, about using various forms of proof, about Venn diagrams, and all kinds of things like that. But what, again, was the point in all that? Some of that you may have said, well, I'm never going to use a Venn diagram again. And the moment I'm done with these proofs, I hope I never have to look at another one and ask for those truth tables. I hate them all. Well, or maybe you loved the stuff, but whether you loved it or hated it, the ability to think clearly, the ability to see whether an argument is actually sound and valid or not, is very, very important. And the ability to have the kinds of thinking skills that can sort things through, that ability is very important for a Christian and for somebody who is living for the Lord. So I want to think about being logical for the Lord, and I want to talk about six things. The first three are related to how we relate to God. Value the Logos logically, and I'll explain a little more about that in a moment. Love God logically with your mind. Grow holier logically through the transformation of your mind. Those are things that involve our relationship to God, and logic, reasoning, sound thinking are very valuable. The last three are more about how we deal with other people. Witness logically. Defend your faith logically from attack. Resist lies logically. Those are just some dimensions of being logical for the Lord. Value the Logos logically. The Logos is the Word. In Proverbs 2, verse 6, it says, the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord is the source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and truth and reasoning. In the New Testament, the Gospel according to John begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Logos was God. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The Logos became flesh and lived among us. That Logos is Jesus Christ. When you value logic, you are valuing Jesus, because Jesus is the Logos, the Word, through whom all things were made, the logic of the universe. And all human logic that is sound comes from the Logos, the wisdom who put certain patterns in the world and created the patterns of our minds to reflect the patterns of His great mind. This doesn't mean that every element of human thinking is divine, but our ability to think does come from God. This doesn't mean that every truth table is a direct invention of the Lord. Some of you, while you were working through truth tables or Venn diagrams, may have thought the devil invented this stuff. It was such a pain in the neck for you. But no, the ability to really think things through, to map out how some reasoning works, and to get at truth, that is part of what it means to know Jesus as the Logos. to know that He's the Word, the source of all wisdom, of all sound thinking. So when you're logical, when you develop your ability to be more rational and accurate and truthful in your thinking, you are valuing Jesus, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity. You are valuing the Lord God, who is the source of all wisdom, reasoning, and logic. We're called to love God. Logically, Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So love God with your whole being. And a vital part of your being is your mind. And a vital dimension of your mind is your power to reason, to think things through, to draw conclusions, to take some truths, and on the basis of those truths, to be able to infer your way to other truths. That's loving God with your mind. What is the church? It's the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of what? The truth! The truth! It's all about truth! When you love God logically, you are seeking truth because He's the God of truth. And you might say, oh yeah, but logic doesn't apply to God. Well, let me just ask this question. If the Bible says Jesus rose from the dead, and somebody says, Jesus did not rise from the dead. And you say, but the Bible says He did. Well, what's your basis for saying they're wrong? They're wrong because the belief that Jesus did not rise from the dead contradicts the truth that He did rise from the dead. It contradicts. That's a logical statement. Without the principle of contradiction, you'll believe anything. Jesus rose from the dead, and He didn't rise from the dead. God is love, and God is not love. God is hate. If you have no logic that says, if this is true, then that can't be true, then there is no ability anymore to love God with your mind or to seek the truth. Logical reasoning is a vital part of taking truth that God gives and then extending it and applying it to different areas of thought and of life. So, don't say, oh, logic is no big deal. You know, there may be some things where you say, well, that's just not my thing. I wasn't very good at proofs, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be. But I just want to say that learning the ability to think more clearly and having trained your mind, keep on training it. Keep seeking to think as clearly and as logically so that you can sort out nonsense. There's a question, a famous question, can God make a rock that He can't lift? And if He can't, well, then there's something God can't do. Well, actually, God can make a rock of any size. But to say that God can make a rock that God can't lift is to have implicit that there's something God can't do, but there's no rock of any size that He can't make. You've just got a contradiction going on in that statement. And as C.S. Lewis says, when you may assert a contradiction about God, you're not saying something very profound about Him. Nonsense about God is still nonsense, okay? If you're talking nonsense, if you're talking a contradiction, then you're not helping us to understand God better. So learning to love God logically is part of loving Him with all your mind, and that's part of the greatest commandment that there is. You grow holier logically. You grow holier, how? By truth and by its impact on your mind. When Jesus was praying for His disciples on the night before He died, He prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so when we hear His word, the word of the Father through Jesus, we know that that word is truth. And we know that that truth sanctifies. That truth makes us holy. As that truth comes into our minds and we think it through and we apply it in different ways, we become holier. Logically, how are you transformed? One key way is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In another place, the Apostle Paul says, now put on the new self. And how is that new self being transformed and renewed? It's being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. When your creator is the Logos, the wisdom, the source of truth, He renews you through knowledge. And of course, this knowledge is not just the mere study of truth tables and Venn diagrams and arguments and probabilities, but the ability to think clearly about the truth God reveals is so vital, and so grow holier logically. Now, if you become a rationalist, where you overemphasize the importance of human reasoning and downplay the value of human revelation, or of God's revelation, when you say, my reasoning matters more than what God reveals, well then, actually, that's not even being logical. That's being downright stupid, because it's logical to listen to the source of all wisdom. But my point is simply, some people can claim to be super logical, and it can harm their holiness or make them very ungodly. But that's not because they're too logical. It's because they're relying only on their own self-centered way of thinking, not because they're such great reasoners. Another way of being too logical is not really being too logical, but downplaying the role of emotion and feeling and saying it doesn't matter. Emotion and feeling are part of being human and matter a lot. The problem isn't that you're too logical, it's that you're too neglectful of the emotions. You can never be too smart or too logical in your pursuit of God's truth, but you can neglect other aspects of human reality if you think that logic and reasoning are all there is. But grow holier through the truth, grow holier through the renewing of your mind, grow holier by being renewed in knowledge, grow holier logically, thinking the way God wants us to think, thinking truthfully and accurately. And then as we move from how logic impacts our walk with God, let's think about how it impacts the way we relate to others. Part of witnessing involves logic. Some people say, well, you don't use reason or logic or anything else. Well, nobody told the Apostle Paul that. It says he reasoned, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. He was reasoning and persuading. He was reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. When he stood before the governor Festus, he said, what I am saying is true and reasonable. So, the Apostle Paul, when you read his letters, he would use logic. When he was speaking of the resurrection of the dead, he's talking to some people who denied that there is such a thing as resurrection. And the apostle said, now, let's think about that. If there is no resurrection, what does that mean? Then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, what's the next logical step? Our faith is useless. And what's another logical inference? Our preaching is useless. If we don't have any hope in this life, what should we conclude? We're to be pitied more than all men. He uses logic and says, if you don't believe in resurrection, it'd be stupid to be a Christian. So he's reasoning and showing true and necessary consequences. He's saying, if there is no resurrection, here are the consequences. If there is a resurrection, well then, here are the things that follow logically from the fact of Jesus being raised from the dead. We must witness logically. And so we can use orderly argument, orderly reason, and we should avoid bad arguments. Earlier in the course, we saw some of those bad arguments, such as personal attack or equivocation or a whole host of other bad arguments. Look at the way that you argue for the Lord. The Lord's the God of truth, and He's a lot more likely to bless sound reasoning, presenting His truth logically, than He is through personal attack or any of the other bad modes of argument that are out there. Witness logically. And defend your faith logically. That's all part of witnessing, but also part of what's sometimes called apologetics. The Apostle Peter said, always be prepared to make a defense, an apologia, to anyone who asks you for a reason, a logos, for the hope that is in you. You want to be logikos. When you talk about the logos, you need to defend your faith logically, because you're giving a logos, a reason, because you're making a defense, an apologia, for believing in Jesus the logos. So always be prepared to give an explanation. And that doesn't always mean, I'm going to haul out a Venn diagram to prove that Jesus rose from the dead, or use other logical ways of proving. It does mean that you think clearly, that you do understand valid inferences and invalid inferences. You could do a Venn diagram, you know, of resurrections, things that have been raised from the dead, things that haven't been raised from the dead, humans, and overlap those. And if you say the category of humans and things that rise from the dead does not overlap, you're saying there is no resurrection of the dead. You're using universal inferences to say that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then any human, even Jesus, can't have been raised from the dead. So, if Jesus has been raised from the dead, well, then you can make your Venn diagram and say some people, at least, are raised from the dead. And if he says that others are going to rise, well, then we conclude that others, in fact, all are going to rise. So, learning to think logically, to notice when something isn't proved and when it is a major part of defending the faith. There are a lot of attacks on the Christian faith that are based on the shoddiest, rottenest arguments, but if you've never learned how to debunk an argument, how to break it down and to see the parts and the bad inferences in it, well, then you might get bowled over by false attacks on the faith. And closely related to that, then, is let's resist lies logically. Look at what Jesus did. When people were trying to trap Jesus would come back at them with a question or with a very logical statement that just pierced right through everything they were trying to do. And you see that times his opponents had to give up. Marveling at his answer, they became silent. They no longer dared to ask him any question. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him in a corner, and he just overpowered them with his brilliance. Or take Stephen, the first martyr. They could kill him, but they couldn't beat him in an argument. The Bible says they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. Now, that's not just a matter of his excellent logic, though he certainly did employ excellent logic. They accused him of being against Moses and the temple, and he went on to explain exactly how God worked through Moses and what the purpose of the temple was and how that purpose had been fulfilled and surpassed in Jesus. So he was using sound argument, and they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit in which he was speaking. When you're full of love for the Logos and then you train your mind to operate logically, then you're going to have a wisdom and an ability to discern lies and to fight back against them and to overcome them. So again, whatever you thought of some aspects of this course, some of the exercises you had to go through that challenged your logic, remember what I said at the beginning, hey, think a little humbler if you found it too hard for yourself. Don't take it as an occasion to say, oh, that stuff was stupid. Just say, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not quite as logical or as skilled at logic as I thought I was. And just keep on seeking to hone your mind, to train it. Be logical for the Lord. Value Jesus the Logos logically. Love God with your mind logically. Grow holier logically. Witness logically. Defend your faith logically. Resist lies logically. Keep on doing your exercises. Keep on training your mind. Be the kind of person who can really testify to the truth and praise God for His truth. And use the modes of reasoning that God has given us to show and to demonstrate the wonders of God's truth.